Off the Ball, GAA.
It's good to make history for the club, and as you see, like, SARS, it means everything to us. After losing county final, to get to a Munster final and represent ourselves and our community, it means everything to
us. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Tuesday's Football Daily. My name is Phil Egan. On the way, Lilleagh looks ahead to Ireland's Euro playoff at Wales. There's reaction to West Ham's away win at Newcastle. And Mikel Arteta on how Arsenal can stop Sporting sharpshooter Victor Gyökeres.
It's hot right now. London is bubbling.
With that corner, it's not a bad one at all. It's locked out for Thomas Souček. But it's far too easy for Souček. Well, the biggest player, arguably, that West Ham have just to attack the ball. No one's anywhere near him.
Guitar waiting. Wan-Bissaka of all people. What a scoreline for West Ham United.
The willingness of Wan-Bissaka to break from right back is why West Ham get the second goal. All the pressures come from Newcastle. Good opportunities. But West Ham have been clinical.
First up today, West Ham collected just the second away win of the season in the Premier League last night. Thomas Souček scored his third league goal of the campaign, which have all come away from home to put them ahead inside 10 minutes away to Newcastle. And just a third career goal from Aaron Wan-Bissaka made it 2-0 8 minutes into the second half. Prior to last night's game, it had been mooted that Lopetegui had two games to save his job at West Ham. Former Borussia Dortmund boss Edin Terzic had reportedly been sounded out should the Hammers decide to let the Spaniard go. But Lopetegui is focusing only on events on the pitch.
I think the only thing that is under our control is to be able to play football, to improve, to attack well, to defend well, to be able to convince the player that we are able to do better. Today we did. But I think that the only thing that we can do is always put or do the things that they are under our control, and we did today, but not today, every day. So we have to keep with this mentality. But above all, let me to say that we are happy for the players because they need this kind of feeling as a team to believe that we are able to do well as a team, to put the best of each player for the team. And okay, fortunately we won and we are happy. And above all for the fans too, because it's so far Newcastle from London, and to come back today, we are happy day. We are happy, very happy for them. We work for them, so we are very happy for them.
Lopetegui won't be on the touchline for Saturday's visit of Arsenal, having picked up a third yellow card of the season last night.
No, I am not happy for sure. But I didn't know before. I didn't know. I think I was thinking that I had one, but I had two, and now I have three. So I have to accept. I'm not happy, but okay. The more important main actors they are going to be in the pitch, they are the players. So, okay, for sure. It's better that they are in the pitch than me. So.
Last night's defeat continues a troubling pattern for Newcastle, as it's the second month in a row they've lost their first game after the international break. It's left Eddie Howe scratching his head.
Yeah, there's always that concern because you just lose contact time with the players. Players go through a totally different experience and then they come back together as a group. Now, usually, I think historically, we've been very good in that respect. Why we should suddenly find it difficult, I don't know. It's one of the mysteries, really, of football, and you know, we need to go away and think about that. It's a similar type feeling. I thought we played well in the Brighton game, didn't get the result today. I felt we played well for parts of the game. But again, we're not scoring enough for the chances we're creating. That's a disappointment and something that certainly we have to fix.
Newcastle are averaging just over a goal a game, and that needs to change.
I think a lot of that is potentially down to individuals' form. Their execution, their confidence in those big moments. And for me, we've had big moments today. I've had the opportunities. And of course, then if you take those, then more come off the back of it. That's how football always works, and that's how it worked for us against Nottingham Forest in our last game. There's nothing like goals to create confidence in the group. So you only get confidence for me from hard work and training and making sure that we rehearse and refine what we're doing. So that's what we have to do.
Ireland midfielder Lilleagh hopes lessons have been learned from February's friendly defeat to Wales. Jess Fishlock and Lily Woodham both scored first half goals against a subpar Ireland that set in motion a 6-game losing streak for Eileen Gleeson's side. Ag says the game will form as preparation for Friday's first leg in Cardiff.
I think we watched that match back, and to be honest, we hold our hands up, and we weren't ourselves, I don't think, on that night when we watched back. We've come a long way since. I think we've grown each game that we've played. Our squad depth now and adaptation to different formations and adapting to different teams that we've played. Going into the game this time, I think we know if we're our best selves on the night that it's something that we will show a better performance for sure. We watched it back straight away after that, and then again we'll be watching it again this week. Lots of us will have to do a lot of analysis on that game and tweak things that we don't think were quite right. But yeah, it's something, like I said, we'll go into and we'll put right, hopefully.
The Birmingham midfielder also has no issue with playing deeper in midfield or further up the pitch.
To be fair, I think I'm flexible. I've been, you know, when I think back to playing and coming in under Vera, I often was given the job of break play down, pass it, don't run forward, stand still, give the ball. And that was my role, and I was more than happy to track players like Erin or Caroline, try and win the ball back for the team and be a bit more nasty, win the ball back and let other players do that role. I think at my club, my role is to high press and probably be one of the play the 10 role, where higher possession in terms of us winning the ball back and then breaking and going forward. And I think I do a lot of good runs maybe in the final third, which is probably, I'd say, a strength of mine as opposed to winning the ball back. But yeah, I'm honestly happy to play whatever role. Like I said, I don't know. I think more recently Ilo's maybe seen that I can play a bit more higher up within the team, and I think she likes my aggression of pressing. So it depends on the structure of the team and what kind of tactics we're going for. But I think I would say my strengths are winning the ball back high through an aggressive press in the final third, and then sort of transitioning towards goal and getting in the box and being amongst it.
Ag was one of more than 100 female players that signed a petition for FIFA to end its relationship with Saudi oil and gas giant Aramco. Fellow internationals Diane Caldwell and Kira Carusa were among those signatories, and she explained why they want to end the sponsorship deal.
Just in terms of, like I said, the background for women's rights, especially in Saudi, you know, I think we're sheltered from quite a lot that goes on. So for us as players, as I said, I think it's important that we highlight these things, and again, people can do their own research into what goes on within that. But it's something that, you know, after discussion with some of my teammates and other players, I felt I wanted to stick up for.
However, Ag says World Football's governing body are yet to respond.
You want FIFA to respond, and we haven't had a response as of yet, but we would like, you know, that's again the power of our platform, and of course more and more people could potentially put their names forward, but it's also a scary, daunting thing. People don't want to, which again is understandable. So it's more just feeling comfortable with what you want to do, and again, me as a player, I have no issues at all in putting my name down. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's negativity around it. I think if anything, people are like, oh, fair play, maybe I should have done that. I think the only, as I said, people worry about repercussions or what that looks like, or get nervous if people ask questions in, you know, the media. I haven't done anything wrong. It's something I believe in and I will happily speak about.
Champion Shelburne are set to complete their first signing since lifting the league title. The Irish Independent's reporting Damien Duffside have agreed a deal to bring Dundalk winger Ryan O'Kane to the club. Shells have already announced a number of the first team players have agreed new deals for next season, and the club's also expected to confirm in the next week that former Dundalk winger Rayhan Tulloch will sign up for 2025. Tom Gravosti has signed a new 2-year deal with St Pat's. A cruciate ligament injury saw the defender shelved for the first half of the season, but his return coincided with the arrival of Stephen Kenny and the Saints eventually qualifying for Europe. The Scouser had attracted the interest of Bohemians but has committed the Pats through to the end of the 2026 campaign. Gravosti joins Danny Rogers, Anto Breslin, Jamie Lennon and Alex Soberg in extending their stays at Richmond Park. He told the Pats YouTube channel that he's particularly enjoying his partnership with Joe Redmond.
Really enjoyed being back here, obviously playing with Joe and obviously good mates, so it's good to get back playing, and all the other lads like Anto, Joe and Ang, we've got really good competition for places, which really pushes people on, I think, all around the pitch really. So no, listen, we're going to have good competition next season as well, and that's what you need in a good team, so that's be vital for us next year.
Waterford completed the permanent signing of Sam Glenfield from parent club Fleetwood. The 19-year-old scored twice in 10 loan appearances for Keith Long's team last season. Meanwhile, former Ireland striker Stephen Elliott has been linked with the managerial vacancy at Waterford's south-east neighbours Wexford. Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says they've no special plans for Victor Gyökeres tonight. The Swedish international has already scored 24 goals in all competitions this season, with Sporting at home to Arsenal in the Champions League tonight. But Arteta says the Lisbon Giants' overall play has led to Gyökeres' glut of goals.
Well, I would like to talk about the team, about the coaches and how phenomenal they've been. You know, the run that they are in is incredible. That tells you that it's not only the qualities, the setup, as well as the ambition. It's something about the team energy that they have. And that's a great challenge that we have tomorrow, to come here and make a statement and show that we are capable, that against this kind of opponent, be ourselves and win the game.
I know you're focused on Sporting the team, but you're coming up against a very informed striker. He seems to have the pace, the power, the height. Is he, in your eyes, what a modern-day centre-forward looks like now, like an Erling Haaland kind of mould?
I understand the question, but obviously they have a lot of individual qualities. That's why they are able as well to win games in various ways. And yes, in a specific position, they have tremendous players.
Arsenal have won just one of their last 8 away games in Europe, and Arteta says breaking that run is their next step.
Not all the games they've been the same. It's true that within those games, there were games that when we're already qualified, but something is very true. That is that we have to improve those results, and we have to find the ways to understand what has been missing. Sometimes it's been performance, to be fair. Sometimes it's been when the performance has been there, other aspects. And that's the next step that we have to make as a team.
Speaking of breaking runs, Manchester City will look to avoid a 6th defeat in a row in all competitions. Pep Guardiola's side host Feyenoord, with City aiming for a 3rd win in the Champions League this season. The City boss, who signed the new contract last week, believes their poor form will pass.
I learned from my period when it comes situations will come, don't take too much analysis. So, because we'll be wrong. Sometimes, in my experience of managing defeat, I shout to the team after the game, and after that, day after, on that night, right after the game, or early morning with my coffee, I say, why you talk with the plate? Why should I say that? So, relax. Sometimes you have to be more, have to be cold, you know, to see, not the performance, to see arriving time, how they care, how they are here, what they do for the team. There are many, many, many things. It's not for the we win or we lose. And that is not about, it's, I would say it's quite normal after, again, because what happened in the past make an influence in our lives, right, in the right moment. And we won a lot. In the beginning of the season, the influence can be, you know, but in the beginning of the season, we're top of the league. Still, we are second. If we start to lose games or continue to lose games again and again, we'll finish 8th or 9th in the table because it's so tight. But what will happen? You are second in the table. Of course, one team is performing incredible in terms of results, and that's why they take a gap right now. But still, we are there. But it's not about that. It's not about the results. It's not about, of course, it's at the end. But right now, it's about the performance. In the beginning of the season, it was really, really good. Except Bournemouth game, I said many times, the other games we perform well. But we are not consistent enough. We are not solid in every aspect. From my point of view, maybe I'm wrong, for the incredible amount of absence. So with just one, you can handle it too, but there's a lot in an important position. I said, now John Stones, for example, now I can play. I can play 45 minutes. But after 1 week, 10 days without training, you need the rhythm. And there are many aspects that they are involved in that positions. But what I said the last press conference, sooner or later, should happen. Maybe I didn't expect to lose 5 in a row, but it should happen. If the winner should happen, the little bit drop after the success that we had. It's normal. But the analysis will be in December if you have to do something. And, of course, in the end of the year, the season, I said, okay, what do you have done this season? What do you have to do to, of course, to be more solid, to be more solid next season? But these guys gave us a lot, and this guy will give us a lot. I had the feeling. Had the feeling that this season will do very, very good things. I don't give up, and I have the feeling that it will be there. And if it's happened, it's happened, because the human beings can happen.
City's latest defeat was a 4-0 loss at home to Tottenham on Saturday, and it's been revealed that Tottenham goalkeeper Guillermo Vicario played an hour of that match on a fractured ankle. The Italian's undergone surgery to rectify the problem, but now faces months on the sidelines. Former England goalkeeper Fraser Forster looks the most likely to fill Vicario's boots for their immediate slate of fixtures. But a prolonged Vicario absence could force Ange Postecoglou to buy a new keeper in January. And we'll finish with news of another goalkeeper. Manchester United's Andre Onana has won a special prize in recognition of his charity work. The Cameroon international has picked up the World Player Union's Impact Award, with his charitable foundation providing free medical care in Africa. Doctors have performed over 1,200 surgical operations in underprivileged communities in the last 3 years. FIFPro will donate just under £8,000 towards the cause.